Can I, because I remember you talk, we you spoke about this last week, so I know that we, because I think you even named some of them for us.
Yes,
but I just wanted to go back to your stepdaughter. What's your relationship like with your stepdaughter? Do you still see, are you still in touch with each other?
No, she died, she died when she was 30. She died in a stable with horses, which she loved. I'm pleased in that respect. I didn't never knew. She went after my wife died. She had our bedroom in Tresillian Road. That's where I live here, as furnished accommodation. And I said to my wife, it's not right not to be with your daughter. Her daughter was with her grandma because dad had died, you see. I said, no, can't you come and live with us? So we had a put you up, we enlarged, you know, put you up, you know. I said, well, it's not going to be good. I mean, we get up in the morning, I've got to go to work, you've got to go to work. And she's sleeping, and she's a young girl, 10, 11, 12. She wants her busy, a young woman. And I respect that. I said, well, have our bedroom. I said, where are we going to sleep then? I said, on the put you up. We can sleep anywhere, you know that, yeah, we can. So eventually, I said, well, let's give it a trial period. Don't give up with Gran. Come over, bring a few necessities. I'll come over and pick them up if you want to, or you make your arrangements. And she didn't stay here. If after you'd been there a couple of weeks, you're not happy about it, she didn't come back to Gran. Won't be any reclamations, or, you know, or you want to come in, then you can't make your mind up. How can you, how do you know until you try it? And she had her bedroom for about a couple of years or more. And her mother died not so very long after that, and she went back to the stables, literal stables.
Whereabouts was the stables?
Chislehurst. Yeah. I know the stables man for miles around, I'll tell you. Sorry. I was part on Sunday morning.
Sorry, did you say that your stepdaughter died 2 years after she moved in?
No. She
She moved in, and then your wife died,
yeah.
And then the daughter moved back to the grandma.
Ah.
No, we moved back to the stables.
The stables, sorry.
And she was there for several years, quite a few. I kept in touch. So I didn't want to, I wasn't a father. And when she first came to us, I sensed a great deal of resentment that I was with her mother and she was on her own. But I mean, nothing stopped her from joining her mother. It's her home. I mean, that's applicable to me, my wife, and her. She had to run the house, no secrets. And I'm trying to think now. Anyway, I said to her one day, Irene, come down the garden. I want a little chat with you, just for a couple of minutes. I said, you must try to understand. I know it's very difficult. You're quite a young woman, but there are two kinds of love in general. One is a man for a woman, a woman for a man. Another one is a parent to a child. No one can ever override that. If your mother had to give me up for you, she would have to think twice about it. You're a daughter. You're a flesh and blood. I'm informed to your mother, yes. But if you had to make a break, the only one who could stay here, I'd have to get out. And I would go. I think that's right. I believe in these things. And I said, and your love your mum has for you is quite different to the love your mother has to me, and vice versa. I love your mother, I look after her, don't want for anything. She has quite a good life. Never short money, never ever without money. She might say to me, drop a gentle hint, you know, that coat of mine, I just had it dry cleaned, getting a bit tatty. You never told me, did you? I was today. And I think I try and find out when I'm interested. One thing I don't want to do, I was so busy. How about, I mean, John up. He was a fellow who worked for me. I had about four or five people work for me on as wanted. When I'm ever so busy, I can't drive five cars. So as I wanted, I'll bring him up. And, fine, I'll come in, right, lovely. And, one of them, him and his wife, I used to look after the sweet shop when we went on holiday. So the business carried on. If you don't do that, you don't have a business to come back. Everybody spoke very high of him. He's a nice man, very honest fella. I'll be with him in pinch of sweet.
But he managed to sort out a coat, did he, for you?
Eh?
he sorted out the coat for your wife.
Yes, we got to get our coat. Now we've got a nice coat, we must go somewhere so people can see it. Where do you want to go? And she nominates somewhere, and off we go. When I went on holiday, I had a limousine, Humber, Super Snipe, Hawk, Pullman, Humber Pullman. That was a seven-seater. Now, the back seat, you could seat five adults side by side on it. In the floor, you pulled out seats dropped in the floor. You could seat eight or nine children on there, bridesmaids. And when the bride got in the car, she had to get in the car, duck her head, and walk about four or five paces to sit down. Cool. If you see a photograph, you think it's a room. White, 2-inch white lamb's wool carpet on the floor, electric partition.
And this is what you would go on holiday, on your holidays?
Oh, no, this is, you know, this is a wedding. Okay. I mean, the cars, I mean, they say seven-seater, but I mean, the front seat, you can seat four in the front seat. Bench seat, column change, two and a quarter tons.
It's an impressive vehicle. Well, I'm hoping that you've got a photograph of it somewhere.
Oh, yes, old Ramblin. And the engine was the same size as six minis. A mini was 7 horsepower, and this was 4,300 HP.
It sounds like it was your pride and joy.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like driving it so big.
Where did you used to park that?
Like a tank, hey?
Where did you used to park it up? In a garage somewhere?
No. Let's try and think now. Tresina Road. And then when I had a shop down there, I used to park them there overnight. You didn't have problems like you do today, you know, with vandals and that sort of thing.
So it would be all right, you could just park it up outside your
house? I knew about my cars and I had no enemies.
And also you had the police.
I knew all the police by name, right up to a senior officer. I now know a police officer in Scotland Yard. She's one rank under a commissioner. And if I ring out and ask her to speak to her, she's very busy. Tell her it's Arthur. Hello, Arthur. Hello, Arthur. How are you doing? You still love me? I said, yeah, quite a lot. Not too much, mind you. And I had landlords here. I've had six, eight, ten landlords. They only stay about 5 years and then they disappear. They don't exist. I got her to check. She can check whether they exist or not. Now I've got enough detail, information, photographs and that sort of thing. And she came back to me a week later and said, no, it doesn't exist.
So you've got Broccoli, obviously, and then you've got New Cross and St John's. And what interaction did you have with the local, the neighbouring places near Broccoli?
Not a lot. I was a bit too posh. I went to a private school in the Tristanium Road, 49 Tristanium Road, 49. I lived at 49 Wickham Road. I've been lots of nines in my life and sevens. They had, I think, about four teachers and about 14 children. So we were well catered for. And they're all middle class. I left when I was 10 to go to Coles Grammar School. When you get a Coles, you go in Form 2, that's the first form. Believe it or not, the first form is Form 2. Then it's lower 3 ABC, upper 3 ABC, lower 4 ABC. I went straight from Form 2 to upper 4. I jumped about 6 to 8 classes, and all the boys were young men. I'm about 10 or 11, and they're about four, and when you're about 14 or 15, there's a hell of a difference between size, manner, everything else.
So where was this school?
Coles. Used to be on Lewisham Hill. And we were evacuated, 500 boys were evacuated, maybe with the brothers and sisters, the Tommy Twirls, and while they were evacuated, their bomb was all blown up. Mm-hmm. And they rebuilt it over at near Eltham, almost into Eltham, which is there today.
So can you, were there any particularly memorable teachers and staff?
Bill Bailey, He's about 500, we thought, the boys. He looked like, anyway. He's bloody old. He's way beyond retirement age. He used to wrap people's knuckles with a bloody round ruler. Very painful. Mr. Bailey, he was a French and history master. I liked him because he had a lot of knowledge. I've always wanted knowledge. And I mean, they were good. And because Mr. Bailey had a lot of friends, and one of them was a curator at Horniman's, used to bring in real relics. I bring a real Roman sword. I couldn't bloody lift it. My God, I couldn't even pick it up. And they're fighting with it. The Roman shield. He bought one thing. He must have done it in the undercover. But he didn't answer his lessons. There's never any apps on his lessons, I tell you.
Are there any other teachers you can remember?
Mr. Morris, he was the headmaster. Not really, because most of the time, a lot of the teachers were teaching two and three subjects. Mm. You leave them in history and go to the next class them, and there he is again. We're going on geography now. I always love geography. I can draw a map of the world freehand, and you look at it, and you wouldn't, it's not good, but you can recognise Hudson's Bay, Panama, South America, Brazil. I can do that just freelance.
Mm. Whereas nowadays people would just press a couple of buttons.
I know. It's ridiculous. It really is dumbed down.
But it's all disjointed because you kind of know where this place is, know where that place is, but you sometimes miss the bigger picture.
Oh, it's quite. Because they keep changing names.
Mm.
Mumbai, Bombay, Calcutta, is Calcutta or something similar.
Because now, isn't Burma now Miramar?
I've lost a bit of touch with someone else now, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. It's quite. What do I change a bloody name for?
Mm.
Been that name for 1,000 years and they didn't change it. Mm. Ceylon, Sri Lanka. Mm. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world, that is. Sri Lanka. Mm. It's full of terrorists and bandits and. Mm. Oh dear. Why do you have to choose a beautiful place and destroy them?
Mm. So, just to come back to the school then, to finish off, so you're obviously a fairly bright young lad because you said you were whizzing through the years.
Well, every year I was in the top three. Every year I needed to be the top boy, second boy, and third boy. And Abel and Baker, the other two boys, and myself, one year you'd be top. Next year you and I would be top, and I'll be top the next year, and that's the second year, and then you'd be top. Every year for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or more, we ruled the school. We were the top three boys, and I never had to try. I was sitting in class there, daydreaming. The boys would suddenly say, "Gennady, huh? You're not paying attention, are you?" "Yes, sir." "What did I just say?" "You said in the 14th century, didn't laugh after the Battle of Waterloo, and blah, blah, blah." I could quote him word for word. And I mean listening.
What did you want to do? What did you want to be work-wise, job-wise, when you were at
school? I wanted to go to the law. I was fascinated by the fact of voices. I could put a man in prison, I could get him free, I could prove he didn't do it or did do it. I mean, many, many a criminal, as you know, Craig knows what appear, should have been in jail long, long before, but were clever barristers and what have you. I want the power of words, and I have the gift of speech.
And then, unfortunately, the war ended up getting in the way.
I was a bit annoyed about that.
One thing I was going to ask you about, and it's a sort of slight digression, but it's something I did want to ask you about, and that was the fact that there was a very famous author, wasn't there, called Edgar Wallace.
Oh yeah.
And he lived in Brockley here.
That's right. Yeah.
And I just wondered whether were you aware of him and his work when you were around this time?
I've been a great reader of his books, yes, but I didn't know him or of him because you didn't know he lived next door.
Mm. This is just a fellow, I mean, I know it sounds just a bit, he was,
no,
Edgar
no,
Wallace was a, he wrote a lot of detective novels. Well, there was one fellow who was based in Brockley.
Pop stars, that's how I've lived in Brockley over the years, but I wasn't much into pop, really. Mm. I like classical music, but I like any music. I first went to India, and Indian music is very weird. But I'm a great perseverer. If 900 million Is that right? Yeah, it's about right, yeah. There's a lot of people who live in India. And if there's so many of them that like the music, can't be bad, can it? So I go to a cinema. The interval in a cinema is about an hour and a half.
No.
But during the interval, you have your hair cut, a pair of shoes made to measure, a suit made, a shirt for about 5 rupees, about 6 shillings.
Why is the interval so long?
That's to sell the goods.
Clever.
You have a meal, massage, haircut, anything like that, you name it. You know, maybe friend, if you want to bring one in. I mean, nothing's impossible in India. Nothing. If you went into a hotel, you say, I want a young lady, she must be 4'10", 19 stone, they probably supply her, I tell you.
Let's not go into all
no,
of that.
No,
definitely next time. I had
a lady friend in India, and she was married to a British sergeant. He went home and left her behind.
He left her on purpose?
Behind? You want to think about being about the Britain, doesn't
it? Oh, right. Oh, she was Indian, right.
Yeah, she was Anglo.
Oh, okay.
Meaning half.
Banjo. Banjo in India is sandwich. They were demised by the Indian.
Because she had one...
Indians didn't want them, and the white people didn't want them. So they had a pretty rough time after the British Army came home. Mm. And this lady, she followed me around all over India. And I said, that's the sort of thing I used to do. I'm in this camp, and she's lived in Dick's, terrible Dick's in a local village. A place I wouldn't like to keep a bloody dead cat. So I got my charwala, that's my tea man, to get some of the local natives. Come and do a job. I want a bungalow, a basha built at the edge of a camp. I mean, basha is just a few planks, and it's all a bit primitive. I tapped into the camp electricity and water, arranged with my friend in the cookhouse, got every evening up there, pick out a carrier bag and put a rub. And every time we moved, I had a new basha built, and it cost about 10 rupees.
So this lady moved around with you?
That's right, yeah.
For a while.
She travelled on for a long time, I tell you. She wanted to come to Burma. I said, no, flipping away, Marty. I don't bloody worry about you having out there. Oh, God, it's all I need, isn't it?
Was she the Engu? Did other people do that in the regiment?
Always camp followers. So especially the Anglos, they may have the worst part of it. While the white people are there, they get by. And if they are... reasonably smart and reasonably intelligent, in fact, well educated, but they accept it up to a point. Not the very posh places, but up to a fair point. Because she was my friend, I got anywhere, I've always been the one that's walked down there and say, let me go in here. You can't come in here, sir. Out of the way. Come on in there. And we go in. I got on a train. First thing you get the train, I pulled out my Ben gun, loaded it up, and said, all right, sub cheese, Joe. Everybody out. And lock all the doors. They kill me with my watch. I don't give a shit whether you're a British soldier or a Chinese soldier, whatever you are. You have to watch your back. Mm. And so I
heard all that. Because people were so poor?
What?
Is that because people were so poor?
Oh, yeah. There's probably like you can't even think to begin to imagine what it's like.
Mm. Well, even now you see it.
But you see, I've never been able to understand now why poor people have so many bloody children.
It's the lack of education, I suppose.
Often it's their religion or their way of life. Because if you are old and you've got a number of grown-up children, you've got someone to look after you in your old age. The Eskimos, what the Eskimos do in old people?
What do they do?
When they can't chew the boots, they chew the boots. That's what old people do out there. When they can't do it anymore... I just put them up on a sledge and put them out in the snow. And a few hours later, they're dead.
Well, it's good for
dead. You can't carry your dead weight.
No. Well, I mean, that's a lifestyle that's arisen from many thousands of years ago, isn't it? So, I mean, I'm not sure that they still do that. But, like you say, for people, there is a thing with people having big families when there's a lot of poverty for the reason you say, that they want to.
You see, imagine a woman who's got 12 children. And they're all come of age now. They start going to work, bring some money in. And if she lives that long, she can live quite a fair life. Because there's a great bond between if you're poor and you've got a mother that looks after you, they did their best, obviously so. That's why somebody turned to prostitution and all anything else, they don't have money. Mm. Okay. No help.
Yeah. Arthur, I think, sorry, because it's been such a long day. Would you mind if we stopped?
No, thank you very much. You must. I just want to understand me better.
Thank you.
I'm the easiest guy you ever liked to meet.
Well, we know that, absolutely, because that's saying. Yeah. We've been talking for an hour and a half. So,
really? Wow. Yeah, sorry, because I'm beginning to nobble off. Well, yeah.